happy we're going to share a mic. I can't read, actually.
Savvy can't read.
Yeah.
Who broke this?
Here's just a little goblin. Oh, I think I got it.
What can I do?
No, Arabic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can read Arabic.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the double letters are all hard when it's like, but most of the time in stuff they don't really use the double letters anymore. That was like a Legends thing, and they haven't done that as much anymore.
Luke. No, just keep them there, and then we'll. All right, let me get everything ready. Is the mic picking me up?
Yes.
Oh, that's a shame. Okay.
Did you test your levels?
I didn't test my level.
No,
Safi, did you test your level?
Smacked it.
You're right. You girls have the middle mic. You girls have the middle mic. And me and Ken will take the end mic. If you want.
Speak.
You can take whatever you want.
Speak. Speak, monkey. Right. Speak.
Let me.
Hello.
All right. Hello. We have 5 minutes left, and then we'll be ready to go.
I think it's good.
I think we'll be okay.
Yep.
Did you do that?
No, I did not. Oh, that's our music? Is that our music?
Oh, we're really fancy.
Thank you. All right, we're almost ready to start. Now we'll get copyright violation. Go. Well, welcome everyone. I had to actually look at the title to make sure I said the right name of my panel. I'm sorry, but this is the Star Wars family spreading positivity throughout the galaxy. So we're going to go across the table and introduce ourselves. If you don't know us, we have a slideshow here. It's pictures of us throughout the years. But my name is Mike Hinton. I have a podcast called The Inflatable Falcon. And I have two children who love Star Wars, and we've spent the last 21 plus years with my kids, and then way more years of before that with myself, using Star Wars and other fandom just to spread positivity. So I'll let you guys introduce yourself. Go across the table.
Hi, I'm Zoe Hinton. I have a podcast called Star Wars Geek Girl with my friend Lizzie. I do wear a lot of costumes. I started as a Jawa when I was 6 years old, trooping. And now I have Sabine. We just finished our Ahsoka last month for Celebration, and all sorts of things.
I'm Safi, Zoe's little sister. I also do a lot of costumes. I started with the Jawa when I was 4. Then I did a Tusken for a bit, and now I do 000, which is like a black C-3PO. You might see it up there.
I actually don't think there's any
000. Okay. I think there's one 000
slot. Okay. Well, this is C-3PO, but all black.
And I'm Ken Bishop. I'm an adopted member of the Hinton family. I'm one of the co-pilots on the Inflatable Falcon with Mike every Wednesday night. I'm also involved in a couple other podcasts, The Forces Behind Star Wars and The Rambling Star Wars Fan. I'm an official member of the Mandalorian Merc, so you may see me wandering around this evening or this afternoon dressed as Kennec Scar Kabur. I'm working on a couple other post-Imperial costumes, and just this year started working on a Bo-Katan costume for my wife, Heather, who's in the audience.
So I thought we'd start the panel off, and again, if we have questions, we do have a mic, or if you want to raise your hand, or just yell it out if you're tired of hearing me talk. Star Wars, I'm going to start with what Star Wars meant to me and how it was introduced to me, and then we can go across the table or whatever order everyone wants to go, and if I start talking too much, Zoe will hit me. But when I first found Star Wars, it was 1977, so that shows that I'm kind of old. But there, in 77, anyone who's around knows, everyone loved Star Wars for a long, for a good bit of years. Everyone loved it. It was everywhere, you know. And then I didn't get the note that you were not supposed to like Star Wars anymore. I just kept liking Star Wars and doing Star Wars things. And then there was that time period where it was very hard to find Star Wars fans. And then fast forward to when the girls were little, the Clone Wars came out. Clone Wars, as much as I was a Star Wars fan, the Clone Wars was the first movie that I saw multiple times in the theater. Because I grew up, if I would ask my grandfather to like go see a movie a second time, I don't know what he would have said. When I saw what it did for Zoe and how much she loved it and Safi loved it, Safi was afraid of Ventress, so I missed the Ventress strangling Rex, because Safi was like three or four at the time, so I had to take her out of the movie. Oh, she was five?
I was seven.
You were seven, okay. So I had to take her out of the They'll fix it.
Bad dad, we'll fix that in editing.
I know. But when we got into that, that's when we got into costuming. And I realized the two things, I love Star Wars, but my two best ways of expressing Star Wars is talking about Star Wars and making costumes. I enjoy wearing the costumes, but I enjoy making them for my family and helping friends make them. And that's how I express my love for Star Wars. And the girls, a lot of the times, are my inspiration to make costumes. Like, we've made four Sabines so far.
Four and a half.
Triple Zero took us 14 months to make. And about 13 months in, I was like, I really hope Safi doesn't mind being bolted into a costume. And it's, because I was like, is this child abuse when it takes like an hour to bolt your child into a costume? So we did check it out like 13 months in, and she did like it. So I'll let you, so you guys, I was introduced by Star Wars by a TV commercial. I saw a TV commercial for Star Wars, and I wanted to go see it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really remember being introduced to Star Wars. It was just kind of like always there. It's just one of those things you don't remember learning. You just know, like, you know, I know how to walk, the sky is blue, and Darth Vader is Luke's father. Like, it's just those are those fundamental truths of life.
You were a month old when you had seen all three.
Yeah. So my first, like, I feel like my Star Wars, when I saw it for the first time with everyone else, was the Clone Wars movie. And getting to see that, like, I fell in love with Ahsoka. I will always love that movie. I always defend it. And then it just, you know, I grew up with Clone Wars, and then I think the Star Wars that, like, I think I'm most connected to is probably Rebels, obviously. just, you know, I think I was 13 when Rebels started, and that was something that I just really connected to. I was, like, old enough to understand it a little better, because when you're seven, you, like, you know, in the Clone Wars, they're like, oh, like, you know, trade routes and our missions, and I'm just like, okay, cool, lightsabers. But Rebels, you know, I was old enough to kind of understand things they were talking about a little bit more, and, you know, I started podcasting about Rebels. That was the first time I started podcasting. And then the sequel trilogy also was, you know, my first, like, Skywalker saga movie, my first live-action Star Wars that I got to see for the first time with everyone. And that was really amazing. And then, you know, I've definitely grown up in a good time to be a Star Wars fan.
What was the thing?
Well, how did you get introduced to Star Wars?
Well, I'm kind of the same with Zoe because I was younger, but it's just always, like, been in my life. The costuming's been, like, my greatest connection to it because I'm not someone who's really talkative. So just being able to be in a costume and make people happy by not even having to say a word is great. And, you know, being a droid and all that. But, yeah, just... I really love droids.
And you play a great droid, let's be honest.
Thank you.
And see, I'm old, but not as old as Mike. And so one of my first introductions...
That's always in everyone's sentence.
Mathematically speaking, it's true. I mean, I don't want to, you know, lie to anyone out here.
Okay.
One of my first connections to Star Wars, and by a quick show of hands, how many of you also had this connection to Star Wars, was playing with the action figures? You know, with the 3 3/4-inch action figures, you know, out in the front yard or in the backyard making little forts and coming up with these wild stories that never showed up on screen, but you loved those stories and you would tell people those stories. And then as I grew up, I would continue to collect the toys and found out about costuming. So not only could I play with the toys and collect the action figures, but I could build something to look like an action figure. And much like Safi, the idea of being in costume and introducing yourself to other Star Wars fans and making them happy and smile because they get to see a life-size version of a Star Wars character is pretty exciting. And if you bump into me in a hallway somewhere or step into our home, you'll know that we are a Star Wars family. Walls are covered with art, photographs with various stars. We wear Star Wars clothes day in and day out. So Star Wars is a huge part of it. And one of the other benefits recently is being able to do a podcast and talk about Star Wars for hours and hours and hours.
And that leads me to, like, found family. Like, Star Wars is always about found family. Like, Luke's family was Leia and Han. I mean, he was related, but he didn't know it at the time. But Leia and Han and Chewie and the droids. And our found family, like, I'm related to my daughters. But Ken, I would have never met Ken but Star Wars. He's from New Jersey. We met at an armor party. John, who is our other co-host of the Inflatable Falcon, John lives in Ohio. And if there's any, there's no kids in there, so this is the only non-kid friendly. We met on TikTok. Don't meet strangers on TikTok, okay? But we met on TikTok. During COVID, he was making Star Wars videos, I was making Star Wars, and we just had a weird friendship, and then we've become friends. We do a podcast every week. We went to London to Celebration together. It's just Star Wars connects us. If you see any Chewie pictures on our slideshow, that's my friend Marty. He lives about an hour and a half away. He's a good friend of mine too. We met through doing trooping events. And so if we take all of this positivity, like we're in a building now where anywhere upstairs we have people with something in common, whether it be a superhero, whether it be Star Wars, whether it be anything. You have something in common, and it helps you get through the day. And Ken has an awesome story about your podcast, how you met your host.
Oh, yeah. So not only should you not make friends on TikTok, be careful going into toy sections of stores because you may bump into another fan who has a similar like that you do. My friend Anthony, we met in the toy aisle at Target talking about Star Wars action figures. He was wearing a Star Wars bracelet that I was also wearing at the same time that we got at Celebration.
Bracelets, buddies. That's nice.
So, and then we just got into talking about the fascination with the makers of Star Wars, and that became the source of our show. The forces behind Star Wars is all about the people who made Star Wars for us to enjoy and inspired us to then go and do things. And then Anthony, and going back to this idea of found family, Anthony introduced me to some of his friends that live out in California. And so our show has five people in it, three from New Jersey, two from California, who get together and talk Star Wars.
And Zoe, how about your co-host?
Yeah, well, because I, yes. So Rebels came out and pretty much instantly I was like, because that was when you're a Jawa and I was hitting like 5 feet tall. So all the, like, drunk guys at baseball game troops are like, you're a super tall Jawa. So it's like, all right, maybe I need a new costume. And so Rebels kind of landed right then. And I saw Sabine. I was like, there it is. That's my new one. So we did a Sabine costume. And there really weren't any other Sabine costumes except this one family out in California where the mom and dad did Kanan and Hera and the son and daughter did Ezra and Sabine. And so because we were, like, you know, pretty much one of very few, very low number of Sabine cosplayers at the time. I just started podcasting because he made me do it. And he was like, oh, well, like, you know, there's this guy I, you know, asked for advice for your Sabine costume. And, like, you know, we could have, you know, his daughter with you so you could, like, talk about Sabine stuff. So I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And at the time, it was just me doing the podcast with, like, a random person every week. And that was only, like, 3 or 4 episodes I'd done at the time. But I recorded one with Lizzie, and I think the podcast was like 2.5 hours long, and then we just sat and talked for another 2.5 hours, and that was in the Skype days where, like, it was absolutely miserable to video call, but we did it anyway, and we just kind of, like, that just became my host. Like, you know, Lizzie texted me and was like, can, you know, when are we gonna podcast again? So it just became our thing for, is it 8 years?
Your podcast will be 8 years old this fall.
Yeah, almost 8 years now. Just started, and now we met it for the first time in person at Celebration Orlando in 2017. That, yep, sounds right. And then since then, like, when I, you know, I've stayed with them, like, for fall break the one time, just hanging out, and then when I went out to California for semester of school, they picked me up from the airport and let me stay with them until my apartment was ready, and like, just one of those things. So I met strangers on the internet, and then I went and stayed at their house.
Yep. With a little bit of in between.
A little bit in between.
I've already been a bad parent bolting a kid in a costume. I don't want a bad parent send a kid to a stranger's house, but yes. Now, Safi, you don't have a podcast, but like, how is either Star Wars or costuming, because you're the only non-Star Wars, well, I don't have a costume on either, but how has that changed or helped you where you're at today?
Well, I guess it's made more confident, I guess. And I don't know, it's just like being able to be anonymous, even while I can like make these people happy in costume and stuff, is just, it's a lot of fun. And
well, it's also help build creativity and craft, because you, I want to make sure I'm accurate in this. You helped build this that you're wearing today, right?
She built 100%.
I did this, the helmet's back.
And if anyone that knows Safi, like I have friends who have known Safi, she's probably spoken more in the last 20 minutes than she has to some people in years. But yes, and Safi, yeah, Safi makes her own.
Yeah, I got to redo this, but I do make my own stuff with foam now, which he doesn't know how to use. So
yeah, she's teaching me how to use foam, so I'm very happy with
it. Yeah, he wants to cover this in fiberglass, but
well, hey, you know,
because when you look back at those old movies, they cobbled this stuff together and it showed up on screen, and we sat in the audience and were wowed by it. Now we have the technology and the know-how, the shared know-how across the world to help build these things in our own living rooms and garages and stuff like that. And so it has allowed us to take these wonderful ideas and wonderful visual elements that you see on the movie screen and bring into life to share with folks at events like this.
Right. Yeah, that's perfect. And to bring it back to even to like all of that, Ken, John, and I talk. We had to cut our show down because we would talk 3 to 4 hours every night. Every Wednesday night. And it just became very nice for us to share our love for Star Wars. And it just builds that family, because I don't really have any family other than what's at the table and my wife. I don't really have any family. And on top of that, I don't have many coworkers that talk Star Wars or anything like that. So the fandom part, it just brings us together. And we don't always talk, like every time I see Ken, we don't talk Star Wars, though it's probably about 90%.
98%.
Yeah.
Sometimes we talk about car repair.
Yes, we will throw car repair and an occasional cooking lesson in the podcast, too. So we, and our podcast started, so this, we, our podcast started on a lark. I built a recording place for Zoe for her podcast, but when COVID hit, the technology came so much better, you didn't need a recording place. You could just use a laptop and a mic, and it's perfectly fine. So we were trying some video calls, and I said to John and Ken, who I knew, we weren't planning on doing a podcast. We just started talking, and we're like, okay, well, let's do this next week. And then let's do this next week. And then the inflatable Falcon, the name is based off of, has anyone ever seen the giant inflatable Falcon you can rent? It is one of the slides. Has anyone seen that? You can rent it or buy it, and you can just, we just thought that was the coolest thing, so that's how we named our podcast, The Inflatable Falcon.
But it's not just any inflatable Falcon. It's large enough that you can bounce around, and there's a slide inside, and it's not inexpensive either. If you wanted to buy one today, it's probably $9,000 on sale. And it just became the running joke. Let's hop into the inflatable Falcon and go for another podcast episode.
Yeah. So if you ever just have 10 grand laying around and you know, or
want to donate it to our show,
or if you want to buy and just invite us, we'll do that too.
If
you're in this area, we'll probably find a way to get there. But that's how we got the name. And anyone who has done a podcast or even thought about doing a podcast, naming your podcast is so painful, because you're worried if you get the wrong name, like. Zoe has Star Wars Geek Girl. We named it. We got the domain. We had everything printed. And episode 3, she gets a co-host. And they co-host together. And I was like, I am not changing it to Star Wars Geek Girls. It's just going to stay Star Wars Geek Girl. And I know, Ken, you guys had some naming issues with your podcast.
Yeah, so our first show was called the Thank the Makers, plural, because we were going to talk about the makers of Star Wars. And my friend Anthony and I, who are started the show with. We were hemming and hawing about when we were going to finally start, and we waited until maybe February of 2020, and that month before, a different podcast was started called Thank the Maker. So we ended up having to change our name later on because of that one little S.
Yes.
So, and one of the things that we really focus on in all of our shows, from Star Wars Geek Girl to John's Beskar Bucket, is the joy and creativity and positivity that's available and that exists in Star Wars. Because I'm not sure if any of you have been paying attention.
Everybody enjoys
everything related to Star Wars, whether you're talking about the last episode or the last season of The Mandalorian or Andor or even the newest Young Jedi Chronicles. Young Jedi Adventures. There are folks that will find reason to say it stinks and it's awful and it should never exist. And we think there's benefit and joy in all Star Wars. And so that's why we tend to flock together so often, and whether we're in costume or just here live on stage and spreading that positivity with other fans.
I know. Probably mine. Well, and that's why we did this. And we would say we would help anyone, any Star Wars fan that needs help to do whatever they want to do. Like, we're all in the costuming group. I'm in the 501st, and for some reason, since I built 000, I got into the droid builders, even though it's a costume. But I'm in the droid builders as well. Zoe is in Rebel Legion and Mandalorian Mercs. Safi is in the droid builders because she wears the suit as a droid. And Ken is in the Mando Mercs.
Yeah, and if I get my Din Djarin done, then I would be able to be in the 501st and the Mando Mercs.
And Rebel Legion?
I'm not sure if Din is Rebel Legion.
But we know enough about those costuming groups to always help people. And we know the costuming groups aren't for everybody, but the costuming groups, for at least our experience, has been a lot of fun. And then with the podcasting community, and we talked in length to multiple people that might want to start a podcast, and we've done everything we can do to help them. And it's easier now than it ever was to start a podcast. Ken, what else do we need to add to this?
Well, I'm just wondering if folks out there in the audience have any questions for us related to podcasting, costuming, or just making your way through the Star Wars fandom and remaining positive with everything that's shared out there nowadays.
Any questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we have so I'll let Zoe answer first because our answer is a little different. So how do you decide?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's, you know, whatever's recent, right? So like when Andor is airing, like, all right, we're going to podcast about this episode of Andor. And then there's like in between phases, like if there's any like news, like a new trailer. But even when there's like none of that, a lot of times we'll just talk about something. I know like we're not doing it right now, but like Lizzie's podcast with her family, The Rogue Rebels, they are like doing a Rebels rewatch to get ready for Andor. I'm not personally into Legends. I think it was just a bit before my time. I read like a couple of like the little comics. I've read a lot of the canon books, but just haven't quite made the step into Legends yet. I might someday.
But I will say, all of our podcasts, we take suggestions of topics too. So, you know, and that's what I like. We had this discussion the other day about there's like paid podcasts and not paid. And at least for now, we've all decided never to be paid podcast because being accessible, like someone just might not want to talk in front of people. And so if someone says to me, hey, what do you think of Dark Empire? If I haven't read it, that gives me a reason to read it. And then I read Dark Empire. There was a comic book or something years ago, but you know, so, and I'm just, or the, I'm trying to think of Legends is a little iffy. I used to read all the comics and stuff when Dark Horse did it. But Ken and I have a unique way. Our topics are a little...
Ours are random.
Yes.
Literally and figuratively. So for the Inflatable Falcon, what we've started to do, Mike has a series of books, and they're numbered, so either John picks a number of the book and then I pick the page, or I pick the book and John picks the page. And then between the weeks, we do homework in between. For instance, the last episode was all about Hondo and Naka. that pirate that most of you probably love from Rebels and Clone Wars. And if you've gone to Galaxy's Edge and Disney World to Disneyland, you've probably seen the animatronic of Hondo. So lately, our themes for our podcast have been random.
Because we've been trying to focus our... but Ken is like a walking encyclopedia. There's two people I know that know so much Star Wars background is Sal Perales of the Rogue Rebels and Ken. Zoe's probably up there too, because Zoe, when she was like 7 or 8, I would watch her start to get into discussion with a grown man, and I just shook my head and I just felt so bad for that person because, you know, because it was, they were usually saying something and I was like, oh, they don't know what they're going to get into.
And they were usually wrong.
And Zoe, you know, Zoe backs her, you know.
I used to flip through the character encyclopedias. We had a Fandex. I would just reread them. I would just flip through them and I'd reread them.
And to bring up Legends is a good thing, because Legends is one of those things that was divisive in the fandom. And I was never into the Legends books, just mainly because when they came out, I didn't have a job where I could read as much. But I liked that they put them in Legends, and because they didn't discount any of them. And so I think all of us feel that way about that, where I've heard people that they either don't want to talk about it or they want to fight about it. And I think the Legends part is such untapped wealth of Star Wars. And I'm glad that, you know, we have Thrawn coming back, where he could have been someone who could have just been swept. But what's nice about it is some people don't like what they've done with the new Thrawn, and some people, you know, but they're still there. Like in my, you know, like I'm in the generation where I should be the person that didn't like the special editions. I love the special editions. I might argue a little bit about who shot first. That might be my most negative part of my fandom, but I like the special editions. I just liked the changes, because it put them in front of other people. It made them, you know, it made them last. So,
and we now have makers who read the Legends and are taking bits and pieces from them and are peppering them throughout the new stuff.
Yes.
So whether you watch Solo or you watch The Mandalorian, you'll see little bits and pieces from those Legends coming through. I see you nodding your head, and you probably, you know, could pick out a couple of things that you remember from Legends that are showing up, not just the characters like Thrawn, but right. Even some of the little props like the crystal skull and so on that showed up in Solo and things like that.
That's an awesome question. Any other questions or comments? Or yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
When you first got in the building, how did you get, like, was everything so detailed? Like, was there, like, when you first started, was there a lot of movie watching and pausing and just get all that detail?
Well, so I lucked out. When I started, I built a TK kit. That was the first one. And at the time, my TK is called an FX kit. So if the average person looks at it, they're like, wow, that's a really cool stormtrooper. It's one that'll show up on some of the pictures. It's about 75% accurate, because this helmet is not a TK helmet. But the TKs are easy, because most of the time...
That's not FX.
I mean, this is not FX. This is a TK, sorry. But the TK got me into it because it's already vacuum formed. I literally just had to cut it and fit it to myself, and it got me the confidence to build more stuff. So when I built her Sabine, her first Sabine, I was taking screenshots, measuring the distance between, like, Sabine's fingers, and I made my own ruler. And I was like, okay, look, if when she's holding the gun, and it's this, and then her first set of Sabine guns, because this was pre-3D printing, I cut on blocks of wood and glued stuff to it. Her armor is 3mm PVC, and I would just look and try to get measurements and I looked for that silhouette, and when I painted this helmet, this one I painted twice, because I finished it. I didn't like how it looked, and then I painted it again. And you just, but what's nice for the costuming groups, if you're a costuming group person, they have, if you look up almost any costume in Star Wars and type the word CRL after it, it will take you to a page either from the 501st or the Rebel Legion, and I think the Mandos have
CRLs.
It will take you a list of every detail. It'll mm-hmm. say, look, this needs this many stripes. It needs, and a lot of times they'll even give you the paint codes and everything. And the groups, on the whole, are super helpful. They have armor parties. Like, we were working on Tusken Raiders. The last one I did with camera pictures was the Tusken Raiders from Book of Boba Fett use an 1891 or something camel rifle. I found the picture of the original rifle. I printed it 1-to-1 scale on paper. I glued it to a 2x12 and cut it with a jigsaw to get the shape. You know, so you just find those ways that are good for you and try to help each other out. We have armor parties, and sometimes we get stuff done, and sometimes we just hang out and drink slushies.
And talk for hours and hours and hours. And yes, one of the benefits nowadays, especially with Disney Plus, is you have the ability to pause it 100 times and do those screen captures to get, you know, the rivet number or the angle of the stripe and all that kind of stuff. And I lucked out because this is a custom kit. So mine looks similar to other Mandalorians, but this is Ken's version of the Mandalorian. So you'll notice that my vent holes in the back are slightly different. You probably won't find another one that's like that. So depending on how detailed you want to be, you get to pick the kind of character that you want to be.
And that's what's nice with the costume group. The 501st, their goal is to make screen-accurate costumes. The Mando Mercs have a two-part. They do screen-accurate, like if you want to do Boba Fett or Sabine, or if you want to make a custom one. They have whole sets to help you make your own, like Kennick's. That is Kennick's, you know, and who had chrome armor before the Mandalorian appeared.
I was shiny before it was cool.
So, but yeah, that's the different groups have different, and it's the same with the droid builders, if you want to build an R2. And with 3D printing, the prices come way down for people to get into it, and it's given more options for different people. You don't have, like, I wish I would have known I was fairly decent at this before I was in my 40s, you know, like, so... And I used to run a podcast called Creedicast, which we will probably bring back. We talk about all the different, like the six different types of stormtrooper helmets. You know, like I did a sandtrooper, and the sandtrooper helmet is completely different than a stormtrooper in a lot of ways. Where I just thought, hey, at first it's just dirty.
You're welcome.
I've seen some really good ones. It's just the...
It's, you know, harder than it looks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay. You know, you're a pioneer. You're like the 500. Well, that's, and you know what's funny? A lot of the pictures that we have of stormtroopers, like the original stormtrooper photo, that blaster was never used in the original films. They brought that blaster back in Rogue One, the one that the Death Troopers and I think Lando used, but that was never used in the original. So it is funny. And some of the costumes, if you stop New Hope, some of those costumes wouldn't pass 501st standards because there's duct tape holding them together, or it's a piece of cloth holding a thing on. Things, stickers are missing, parts are on upside down. The Sand Trooper is a perfect example. It was not finished armor. So the ab plate of the Sand Trooper is not done. It has a flat circle with a slot on it. It doesn't have the buttons. But now, since that's on film, if you want to make a Sand Trooper, your ab plate has to look like that. So.
We saw your hand up as well.
So I was 13. You know, when you're 13, you're kind of like, you don't really know who you are yet. You're kind of figuring that out. And I saw Sabine, and she's just this really cool, like, Mandalorian girl. She was also figuring out where she was, but she had, like, a very distinct style. Like, she was a Mandalorian, but she wasn't, you know, like all the other Mandalorians we'd seen in Clone Wars in the movies had, like, okay, like, I am gray, or I am blue, or I am green if I'm Boba. And, you know, and Sabine didn't care about that. She was just like, you know what, I want to be pink, and then next time I'm going to be orange, and then I'm going to be purple. And, like, she had all these crazy colors and stuff, and she had, like, awesome, awesome hair. Because I had long hair at the time, and then I was like, Sabine's so cool. So I cut my hair short, and I haven't really looked back since. And just that, you know, she just had such a fun attitude. She was, like, only a couple years older than me also, which I think drew me because, you know, I was like, oh, that's me, like, you know. And I loved the story arc she went through, like, in season one especially, when she's, like, questioning Hera and finding that balance of, like, figuring out her own answers and, like, also, like, trusting people, you know, and not having to know every single little thing. And, like, I just related to that a lot. And, you know, and I actually was looking at a Mandalorian before Rebels came out because, like I said, I was trying to find another costume. And I was like, well, Bo-Katan, like, that's a cool girl, Mando. And then Sabine came, and she was purple, and I was like, that's way better.
So you picked her for the color, is what you're saying?
A little bit. It's one of those things where I think also, like, you know, season one, like, my first impression of the character was, like, she looks cool. I want to wear that costume. And then I think also wearing the costume made me connect to her. So it's like I connected to her, so I did the costume, and then having the costume and having Sabine, like, almost become part of my identity made me connect to her even more. It was, like, a weird, like, two-way street. Because it's, you know, especially, like, I never really considered myself super artsy. I was in middle school, I had a really mean art teacher. But since, you know, Sabine, I still don't really draw much, but like my walls now are painted, covered in different murals and like stuff I've painted all over my walls, mostly Sabine related art. I painted your wall. I got more into crafts and stuff, especially over COVID, just started painting and, you know, making all sorts of things, customizing things. That was another thing I loved, how she, like I said, made things her own. So like, I was like, you know, I can have, you know, a pair of jeans, or I can like paint stuff on them. I can have a jacket, or I can paint it and make it like my own. So it's not just what everyone else has. And that is what I really liked. And like I said, like wearing the costume too, like I always think I forget what the event was, but it was like an event. There was a lot of families and kids, and there was a little like coloring and drawing area. And so I went over and I was dressed in Sabine doing the event, and kids were like, oh, Sabine, look, Sabine, I made this. And like showing me their art, because, you know, Sabine's an artist. I was like, that's so cool. And I was like, please don't make me draw anything. I'll break the illusion. But I'm like, you did so good. And that kind of thing. And I think getting to be her helped me connect to her too.
I still have Sharpie on my armor from that event. They had the kids draw with Sharpies and then show us. So in this, you can't see, so you put your hand out to look at the paper, and I have Sharpie lines in my armor. Well, so we're finishing up. I have to say a couple things, and then I'll let you guys finish up with, like, how Star Wars has, like, set the course of your life, if it has. If not, that's fine, too. But there's a slide on here. I just saw it when Zoe was talking. There's a slide on here, her standing with a whole bunch of Mandalorians, and I want to close at least my part off with the Found family. When Zoe was in college, her first year was hard. She went to Temple. She's a Temple graduate now. But it's hard when you go away from home, you know, when you have such a great dad like me. When you go away from home, it's tough. And that first semester, we submitted pictures of her armor to the Mandalorian Mercs. She just turned 18 when you can join. And so she was doing a live podcast with a friend of ours in Harrisburg at an event. Mandos from all over Eastern PA drove to surprise her with her induction live while she was in there. And that just, people don't do that for people that much anymore. And to see that Found family of grown men who barely knew her, you know, I mean, they knew her as just a kid growing up with Star Wars. And it just impressed me. And it just kept me on that positive track. Oh, there it is. Yeah, this was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She didn't know they were coming. They marched in, did the podcast. And a lot of them had to leave right after because they just did it just to come, you know, do it for her. So to me, that's what I leave this with, is just all the friends and family that Star Wars has brought into my life. All right, Zoe.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. I think sort of related to this with the Mercs, you know, I spent a semester in L.A. hoping to move out there, you know, at some point. And I got there and I was like, you know, there's people in my program in LA with me, and a lot of them didn't know anybody. Like, they had us in the program, and that was it. And, you know, that it was hard. You know, like, they had a hard time with that at first, especially. And I kind of realized, like oh, I know all these people. Like, I was people who I had podcasted with, who I knew I could spend time with. See, the weekend after I moved into my apartment, there was, like, I think, like, 40 minutes away or something, there was some of the Mandalorian Mercs were having, like, a little armor party. And I was, like, I messaged, and I was, like, I don't really have armor to work on, but can I just come, like, meet you guys? And they're, like, oh, yeah, sure. And so I went, and they were so friendly, like, everyone offering me stuff. They're, like, recommending all the restaurants and, like, giving me tips about living in the area. And then they were, like, it was, like, just this weird thing. We're, like, oh, we have an extra ticket to, the Andor premiere. No big deal, you know, with Tony Gilroy and Diego Luna and everybody. Like, you want to come? We have an extra ticket. And I was, like, yeah. And I was, like they didn't they didn't know me at all. And that ticket could have gone to anyone. I'm sure there was plenty of people they knew better who they could have given that to. And they gave it to me, who they just met, just to be nice, and because I was a Mando. And it was, like, a really touching realization. I was, like, I know all these people here who've supported me, who I can count on if there's an emergency, and it was all people from Star Wars. Like, every single person I knew was someone I met via Star Wars in some way.
And what Halloween party did you get to go to?
The Mandalorian Mercs did get let me go with them to Alicia Keys' Halloween party, because that was an event she asked for Star Wars characters.
And she had to sign an NDA, and she wouldn't tell me.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't until she posted me on Instagram.
I know.
Well, and that was, like, something, too, like, I literally just met the leader of that part of the LA Mercs, and he was like, oh, like, we have this event, can you come? I was like, oh yeah, I can totally come to Alicia Keys' Halloween party. And he was like, okay, cool, I'll let the Rebel Legion know we took the Sabine spot. So I was like, he had just met me, and he was going this extra length to make sure that I could go. And it was just one of those things, like.
And then I got a call that she didn't have enough leg flares on her armor, so I had to make a set of leg flares real quick and mail them out to California, so they were proper. So I raised her right.
I think generally I talked about this when we were in London, but like these philosophies of Star Wars, like, you know, in Star Wars and also behind the scenes of just not, you know, just giving something a try, like even if it looks impossible, if the odds look impossible, whether it's Luke facing down the Death Star or those poor guys in 1975 trying to figure out how to make these effects that have never been done before. Just like, it seems impossible and no one's done it, but that doesn't mean we can't. And just trying it, and, you know, if you have to invent a whole new method of special effects filmmaking, you're just gonna do that, and it's fine. And that philosophy is something I try to carry with me.
Now, what field did you graduate from? You should probably mention that.
I have a degree in film, which I mostly got being inspired by Star Wars, and hopefully I'll get myself into the credits on one of those movies or shows someday.
Safi?
Droids are like the main thing for me. Growing up, I loved R2-D2 and C-3PO. So now being able to be a droid just means a lot. And it was a week or two ago that my dad and I, we met Chris Bartlett, who does a lot of the droids in Star Wars now. And he, just the way he talked to me, just like he saw something in me, just meant like a lot. So like, if I wanted to, I could see about like being in something Star Wars now that I'm a droid, because they don't have to talk actually, which is very good for me, because someone else voices over. But yeah, just be a droid.
A really good droid.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna bet that if we were to go around the room, all of you would have some sort of a Star Wars family story, if not many Star Wars family stories. I mean, I grew up watching the old movies because, like I said earlier, Mike and I are old. And one of the other benefits now is we can watch Star Wars in our living rooms with our families, or we can be on a bus and watch Disney Plus from our phones. And one of the things I'm going to encourage all of you to do is to look for those opportunities to spread the joy of it. So to find other friends to talk about Star Wars with, to find those people that you can use as resources to help build the thing that you want to build. As crazy and as wacky as the world can be, there are lots of people out there who want to maintain and encourage that positivity related to Star Wars and not get caught up in the muck and the mire that sometimes exists related to this wonderful franchise.
Now, do you have anywhere Star Wars is taking your life?
Where has it taken my life? Well, Star Wars has taken my life to California, Orlando, Chicago, may take us to Japan. And the fact that I'm sitting here on the stage in Philadelphia is an example of where this fantastic movie that came out in 1977 has taken my life today, where I can talk with all of you about the magic that shows up on the screen.
So we have a few minutes left, and I need to know one thing. Who is the youngest person in this panel? Anyone brave enough to say they're the youngest? Anyone under 20? How old are you?
I'm 12.
Is there anyone under 12?
Yeah,
all right. So you win. So we brought a clone bucket, right? This will help you start your Star Wars story. All right? It needs some work, but when you start working on it, you can contact any of us, and we will help you build it. All right? You're welcome. So thank you for coming to our show. It needs some cleaning and some painting. But this is a raw cast.
Good choice.
We will help you with any, like, walk you through the steps to make the helmet.
It's awesome. Thank you. So, it's actually her birthday
today. Well, oh, hey! Happy birthday.
Awesome.
Well, so now you start a podcast and you can be up on the stage in a couple years.
But seriously, we wanted to bring a helmet to just thank. We didn't know, you know, when you do a panel, you wonder if you're going to have two people or you're going to have 50 people. But that is a rough cast of a phase one clone. And if you reach out to any of us, we can help you start building it. It's super simple.
We'll give you a card with.
Yeah, we have some contact information.
Oh,
yeah. So any other questions for us? Yes, sir.
Yeah,
go ahead, Seth. You're the
youngest. You got this.
Okay. Well, like for me, I know a lot that not everyone likes a lot of the new stuff, but even if like not I don't like it or if like anyone else doesn't like it, there's always going to be someone. So just seeing it as a way to like bring tons more people into Star Wars is just great because like for me, I don't read a lot of the books, but then there's people like my sister who reads all of them, and that's just another outlet to bring people into Star Wars and expand the fandom, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like, what's interesting for me is, like, you know, for, like, you guys, like, you had the original trilogy, and, like, that was the Star Wars, where for me, things always started at the prequel trilogy. Like, I never watched, I mean, not that I can remember. I think I did watch the originals first.
Don't make me sound
first.
Like a worse parent for
you
not
did watch the original. You did watch, I think I did watch the originals first, but, like, my memory, like, you know, the story of Star Wars always started with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan on the Trade Federation ship. Like, that was always the beginning for me. So I think it's interesting that we have all these beginnings. I know some people who their first Star Wars movie was The Force Awakens or Rogue One. Like, that's where it starts for them. And I think it's just interesting to see, like you said, there's all these angles where the stories is always expanding. And, you know, there's something for everybody, you know, like I know not everybody does. Now that I've gotten older, I love watching the like political conversations. Like I know everyone else is asleep and I'm like, oh, the trade routes, that's so interesting. and it's, you know, but there's also like I have a friend who like really loves like romance and stuff. So like, you know, she watched like A New Hope where there's not as much of that and she's like, eh, whatever. But we watched Attack of the Clones and she was on the edge of her seat watching Anakin and Padme. And like there's all these different angles and it's, I mean, Star Wars is everything, you know? If you like war movies, if you like that World War II kind of gritty thing, you can watch Rogue One. If you want to watch a heist, you can go watch Solo. If you want all of that, watch The Clone Wars because that has like literally everything. You know, like you can go watch like a Godzilla movie in The Clone Wars. So it's, you know, and I think it's, you know, amazing that Star Wars is always it's growing and just encompassing all these genres and it can have everything. Like to me, I know some people, you know, they're like, even if they like all the new stuff, but like the core of Star Wars is A New Hope. For me, the core of Star Wars is those original six. And there's going to be people where the core of Star Wars is going to be the 9 films, right? And I think that's what's so cool about it, expanding.
Well, for me, it's become a chapter book. So I'm like, I probably fall under the demographic where I shouldn't like the new stuff, but I like the new stuff. And I like every movie, I could probably do a whole podcast on every movie of what I was doing then. Like when I saw Force Awakens, the first time I saw it, I watched their expression probably more than the movie because I knew what it was going to do for them, you know? So. But I also, like, maybe I'm not a good judge of some stuff because I love the holiday special. I saw the holiday special in 78, okay? So I loved, like, when people said they didn't like the holiday special, I was like, what do you mean you didn't like the holiday special, you know? And I didn't even remember the Boba Fett part because I think I, like, fell asleep because I was a little kid. But I look at it now as chapters of books, and it brings people in. I'm old enough to remember if this was a con when I was younger, there would be very few females here. And all the fandoms are bringing that because everyone deserves to have something represent for them, and it doesn't take away from me. Like I saw all the previews for stuff coming out this summer. We're going to have some really cool Star Wars coming out. So,
Ken, you want to end us? We got like
Yeah,
2 minutes.
Just say it simple. I love it all because more Star Wars means more Star Wars. Star Wars can be, should be, and I think will be forever. And it doesn't have to be segmented out. It can be this large mosaic, and I'm going to focus on these pieces now, and I'm going to step back and then focus on these pieces here, and it's all beautiful. You can talk about it in many different ways and on many different levels, and if you want to listen to us for hours and hours and hours talk about it, you know, check out any of our podcasts, whether it's the Inflatable Falcon, the Beskar Bucket, the Rambling Star Wars Fan, Star Wars Geek Girls, or the Forces Behind Star Wars, and we'll go in depth on all of that nerdery. So thank you for that wonderful question. And I hope all of you do find some nugget of Star Wars, A, to enjoy, and B, to share with your friends and family. Yeah.
So thank you very much, everybody. And our time is up, but we do have some swag up here. I have some cards from Zoe's podcast. I have some patches from that.
Sticker.
I have 000 stickers. I have some of the cards from when they were Jawas. If you guys want to come up and grab some stuff. And we really appreciate everybody showing up.
It's our way of saying thank you to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. He doesn't say bye to your live?
Nah, they don't. They don't say bye.